The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right. Welcome, everybody, on this 26th day of April 2024. As advertised, Terry Teat and her brother Patrick Hayes are here. Welcome, guys. Everybody good? We got you into the building. Absolutely. Y'all ready to go? You ready to do it? Fantastic. We got a lot to talk about, a lot of things you want to do. And obviously, one of the things I've given them, there's a certain power that comes to this where they get to pick some of the music. And because it's Friday, you get the opportunity to do four, because we got the coming out of the James Brown montage, fourth song of the hour. So we not only bequeath the selection of the music, but we also allow the handing of the torch for this process because
it's Friday.
Wow! I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
Now, what I want to do, because as we put this on stage, I want you to tell me why this is important to you. It is Asleep at the Wheel and Boogie Back to Texas. Why is it first?
Well, because that's exactly what I did 2 days ago, and I've been eating my way through North Texas ever since, visiting some of the old haunts and enjoying all the great Tex-Mex.
Tell everybody the story. You and your husband, how long did you live here?
Oh, we lived most of our lives here. We left North Texas in 2012 to move to New Hampshire when our only child, our daughter Trisha, went to Boston College.
There you go. Fantastic. And so, and you've been there for a decade?
Yes, 12 years.
That is crazy. And so I've known Terry forever, and one of the really cool things is, and when did we all do lunch? Was it better part of?
It was last year. It was this time last year.
That's crazy. And so, and you would all constantly mention what your brother Patrick does and what, and he loves the show. And I said, well, we need to meet this guy. And so we got, and now it's great to have Patrick in the building. Patrick, welcome. Tell everybody about you.
Thank you very much, Mark. I am a corporate oil and gas attorney down in Houston. Beth and I have been married 22 years, and we have two kids. Our son is a sophomore at Texas A&M, and our daughter is a senior at Katy High School, and she will be going to Norman, Oklahoma in the fall.
As will Rhonda's daughter, Molly. Great. Yes. There's just going to be no dealing with these people on the Texas OU or OU Texas weekend or whatever. So you guys grew up where?
We grew up in Northwest Houston in Cypress, Texas. Who I think you may know some folks.
We have friends there.
Yes.
And B, that is also the state legislative district of Dr. Tom Oliverson, who may be the next Texas Speaker of the House.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. And he's
very
awesome.
Very cool.
That's a cool community. Is it one of those places, being a Houston suburb, have you gotten back there? Is the growth just crazy like it is in your Frisco and the Colony? And
oh, absolutely.
McKinney and such?
We were actually originally from New Orleans. Our dad worked for Shell Oil Company his whole career. And like the rest of the oil, oil businesses in the 1970s, they moved everyone from certain states to Texas. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where we grew up.
Gotcha.
So we only lived in New Orleans when we were small children and spent most of our lives in Northwest Harris County, Cypress. And there was nothing there at the time. I mean, the major highways now were two-lane roads with cattle on both sides.
But yes, on the high schools, when we graduated from high school, there were three. There are 12.
Yes.
In Cypher.
It's like Mansfield. My wife graduated from Mansfield High, the Tigers, and now it's like, which Mansfield High School is there? There are like 10 of them. Are you guys the only siblings or anybody else?
We have a sister in the middle between us. So Patrick and I are 5 years apart. We have a sister who's right in the middle.
Gotcha.
Yes.
And what was growing up like?
Growing up was pretty much, typical 1970s middle class. We had a great upbringing. We just, our dad really always made sure that we were up to speed on current events. We watched the news during dinner, and he would ask us what we thought about those types of things. And I think for me, that's what sparked an early interest in politics and current events and culture.
Is that, does that happen anymore? I mean, now people, they got their, we went through a period where people got their news from Jon Stewart on Comedy Central, and now we have people getting their news from TikTok. It's terrifying. Now we all got ours from the not exactly unbiased Walter Cronkite, Huntley and Brinkley, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we all had our fields we had to navigate, but what,
there were so few sources back then, right? I mean, the kids get so much more information these days. I tell people all the time, our kids are so much more worldly than we were as adolescents, even when we went to college. And there's good and bad to that, right? But I think what you're talking about still happens in some households, but it's like anything else with being a parent. You have to be on top of it, and you have to control it, and it's an active thing.
I want to see if this resonates with you. As soon as this thing called the internet got invented, it had the power to make us smarter, which it instantly has. Now somebody can just sit there and hear somebody's name and learn 50 things about that person right there on your phone. It has also made us stupider, more gullible. I will not take up all of your time with the most recent trip through the moon landing skeptics. But now youth plus historical illiteracy plus let's question everything has led to people whose minds are so open that their brains fall out.
No doubt about that. Yeah, and another perfect example of that, Mark, is these protests on Columbia. And I think now several sources have picked up this clip of two young women who were asked why they were here and what they were doing. And they had no clue.
Heard it this morning.
And one of them even said, I wish I were more educated. And the other one said, I wish I was too. No. You're going to Columbia and you don't know what it is you're protesting or why you're protesting? And I think that's a perfect example.
It's interesting, Terry and I, you know, we talk about politics quite a bit, and, you know, we both have had and now have college-age children. And, you know, the youth are what I would call quasi-active on the political scene, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing we always talk about is give me 1,000 college kids in an auditorium, and how many of those kids know how to go and vote? And I think that number is surprisingly low. And then ask the question, how many of them actually do go vote, right? So it's a whole different dynamic in terms of their awareness and education than when we were kids. And I think a lot of it has to do with what you just said, the internet, social media, so many sources of information. We had less things to keep up with, right?
Sure.
And that's why we went out to play instead of sitting on our phone all day or sitting behind an Xbox or sitting on the internet.
It made us healthier. Have you guys paid attention to Dr. Phil lately?
I have always been a huge Dr. Phil fan. I think he's a national treasure.
I viewed him as just kind of psychology guy. Oprah discovered him. Fine. Seems like a good advice show. He's one of the most important voices in America today. His new book called We've Got Issues is exactly about that. He said, when we were growing up, we walked around like this, you know, our heads held high, our shoulders back, riding our bikes, doing things. We're outside for 5 hours. Now every kid goes through life like this, hunched over, face in the phone, self-absorbed, absorbed in, am I happy this millisecond, and the world revolves around me. And no wonder we got kids hanging themselves in their closets. Well, no wonder we got kids who are just mentally destroyed.
Yeah. How many times do you go into, not just seeing kids like that in public, but how many times do you go into a coffee shop or a restaurant or an auto store, and it's the clerk behind the desk who's doing that?
Yep. And families out at dinner. Families out at dinner, table of six, mom, dad, four kids. Hey, at least the marriage is still intact, but everybody is on an iPad.
Mark,
we
were out to dinner last night, and I passed a family with several small children, and I'm not kidding you, it broke my heart. There was a baby and a baby carrier, and they had an iPhone propped up so the baby could watch the phone while they ate dinner.
Okay, I want to carve out a one thing. If you got a kid that's, let's say 2.5 or 3, and you can fire up an animated show where you can eat in peace for 40 minutes at Micocena, I'm prepared to be on board. I think I'm prepared to be on board. So when you come back to Texas, what's your first food craving?
Tex-Mex.
Shall we play? And you remember the movie crazy movie, Talk Radio with Eric Bogosian, which, yes. which is horrible. I mean, it's fascinating, but doing this, it's like firefighters hate emergency, doctors hate ER, whatever, whatever. If it's about your profession, you always nitpick it to death. It's the stupidest film ever made. It works at, in a certain kind of way. Eric Bogosian is great. But he sits the crazy guy down, Ken, you best thing on the radio. You know that guy?
Yes.
He says, okay, no last names, no brand names. What? I don't care about either one. Tell everybody who you are and tell everybody. So Tex-Mex of choice.
Oh, El Phoenix.
Yeah.
We went to a new place in Southlake.
Yes.
Muchachos. Muchachos.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And last night was La Hacienda Ranch.
That's so awesome. You are not kidding around.
She is overload.
So I boogied back to Texas, but you may have to roll me back to Boston.
That's so awesome. So awesome. And how's the whole New England thing working out? It's just.
It's working out great.
The winters are less brutal if it's lovely and pastoral.
Then you have to live in a police state.
So exactly right.
And you always say you don't have to shovel
heat. Exactly.
I know, Mark, but I'm from New Orleans and Houston and North Texas. I'm tired of being hot.
I know. Oh.
And breaking news, I don't shovel my own snow.
No, well, I know.
I have somebody to do that.
Okay, that is true.
And speaking of where we like to eat,
yes.
My wonderful hero of a husband right now mm-hmm. is fetching us our Whataburger for after the show. Because we have no Whataburger up north.
Gotcha. I told Terry there are consequences to you leaving the Republic of Texas.
That's exactly right.
Or the People's Republic of Massachusetts.
That's precisely right. What are folks like up there?
You know, some of the stereotypes apply. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's true of all stereotypes? There's some nugget of truth.
Some
Italians
right.
are in organized crime.
And culturally, I think not much has changed in the 12 years that we've been there. Now, mm-hmm. I will say, politically, mm-hmm. things are starting to change. I had a very interesting experience on the flight down here.
Pause. Let us share it. This sounds like a perfect package opportunity. Let us pause. Terry and Patrick are here. What happened to her on the plane? I already know, so we'll let her tell that. And then we'll talk a little bit about the politics of the moment and some of the wonderful cultural things that we were blasting all over the place when we did lunch recently. I'm so glad they're here. It's fine. Listen, I do this for free. Don't tell them. But their donation of food for the poor is why we get to do it on the radio, and I'm thrilled. 9:18, back with Terry and Patrick in just a moment. Oh, they brought good stuff. Austin's own Eric Johnson, Stratagem. If Asleep at the Wheel was a Terry pick, this was a Patrick selection. And driven in part by the fact that you just saw him where?
Saw them in San Antonio this time at the Essex Theater.
Gotcha.
And he was doing only a 4-date swing in Texas mm-hmm. with a guitarist named Michael Landau,
mm-hmm.
who I was not very familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
They both did a set and then came out and jammed at the end, and it was... As usual, with Eric, always delivers. Fantastic.
And we were talking about it, and you said, I've been to 2 shows recently. I said, who is the other? And that was Steve Hackett for all the old school Genesis fans. What's he doing these days at the age of 74?
He's done this for 10-plus years now. It's a band called Genesis Revisited,
mm-hmm.
and it's him and a group of fabulous musicians. They're all younger than him.
Well, I was going to say, there's something great about guys who are 35 playing the entire Foxtrot album from 1973.
30s and 40s. The singer is a guy that's probably my age, mm-hmm. mid-50s. And they are moving through the old Genesis albums that Hackett was a part of from 70 to 76. So this time they did Foxtrot.
So Trick of the Tail.
They recently did Seconds Out,
right.
the live album.
Right.
They've got plans to do
Lamb
Selections from the Lamb on the uh-huh. next one. And they've done this in Europe for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted them to come to the States. And they did 2 years ago. But the closest they got to Texas was Chicago.
Yep. So, hey, we have plans.
Yeah. So they re-racked it and came through the South this time. And he made a comment during our show that they were really enjoying Texas. The mm-hmm. crowds were very enthusiastic. And he said, you know, being a Brit, I sort of always had the impression that, you know, maybe all the music in the South was much more country oriented. And he's like, hey, I get here and there's all these rock and roll fans and all and they're all sold out. He said, so maybe we'll come back.
Maybe they should. And speaking of planes, Terry's on a plane, sends me a picture of a dog sprawled on top of your notes. What in the world was that about?
A schnauzer named Missy. Hi, Missy. I promised Missy I'd give her a shout-out.
Shout-out for the dog on the plane. First of all, dogs on a plane, talk show topic.
Yeah, so I'm boarding my flight from Boston to head down here to boogie back to Texas.
That's right.
And this gentleman is the last one to board. He barely makes the flight. He blows in, sits down next to me, and I kid you not, I already had my notes out. Mark Davis Show notes. He blows in, sits down next to me, and the first words out of his mouth, I promise you, he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not used to this. I always flew first class until Joe Biden."
Well, there you are. There you are.
Screwed up the economy.
There you are.
And a 3-hour interview ensued.
God bless him.
He's going to say, Patrick.
I'm sure the passengers around us were. The so rodeo they had their own headphones. Uh-huh. Didn't have to hear all this.
So how'd that go?
It went great. This guy was a kind of a classic example of what I've been seeing in the past year or so. He's originally from Boston area, in real estate. Real estate's hot down here. Taxes are too high in Massachusetts. He started buying properties in and around Little Elm, which is, you know, just exploding.
Sure.
And he just got tired of. He got tired of the culture and the politics and just the oppressiveness of, you know, it's no longer, I mean, even in Boston, it's no longer Kennedy Democrats. I mean, these people have, as he said, they've left planet Earth. That's what the man said to me. These people have left planet Earth.
So many of them saying that I didn't leave the party left
exactly.
me.
Boy, exactly.
Boy, it is kind of even Kennedy Democrats, you have to stop and go, okay, which Kennedy? Have you seen the weird video of all of the Kennedy families looking like escapees from some cult treehouse talking about how they don't like RFK Jr.?
Yes.
RFK Jr. is like 70-something. Looks like he could, you know, outrun all of us in a marathon. While these other pasty, unhealthy-looking Kennedys talking about how, nope, we don't like RFK Jr.
Which I just thought that was classless.
Yeah.
I mean, how desperate must they be?
How scared must they be? Yeah. So does that mean they think RFK Jr. hurts Biden more than he hates Trump? And which do we think?
First of all,
I love the guy himself is interesting. Great story. Bless his heart. I can't imagine what it was like to have your dad get killed in 1968. And he has some beliefs that are not insane. So for a Democrat, that's awesome. I don't know which side. And he is going to be on the ballot in some states. He's not going to tilt Texas or anything. But you think about a Pennsylvania, Arizona, you know, Michigan, stuff like
well,
that.
Well, I'll tell you, this goes back to Michael, Missy's father on the plane. Mm-hmm. Said to me when I said, okay, so if so many people feel like you do, Michael, and he's 65 years old, why is Massachusetts so desperately and irretrievably blue?
Yep.
And what he said was low information voters, unions, people who can't afford to vote any other way because they still believe the Democrats are going to give them everything they need, and the low information voter. And he said a lot of people just hear the name Kennedy. And they don't listen to talk radio. They don't watch cable news. They hear the name Kennedy, and they're going to vote for RFK.
And it's habit, and it's family, and it's also they've also heard forever and ever and ever that if they really thought about voting Republican, don't do that because the Republicans are evil.
And I personally know some older Massachusetts voters who don't stay real plugged in, but she's voting for Kennedy because. Mm-hmm. You know, her parents voted for JFK and RFK and all of that.
But so. The RFK Jr. vote is very different.
It is very different.
You know, you're making a very different statement. Exactly.
I'm not going to tell them, are you?
I know, indeed. Sorry, let me take a pause. Hop into the newsroom. We'll come out. We'll do a couple more political things, a few more cultural things, and who knows. It's their dime. It's their deal. It is the wonderful Terry Teat and the wonderful Patrick Hayes, her brother, and we're talking about, clearly, all manner of stuff. Covering all manner of stuff, Nikki Whaley in the news. How much more Genesis can we shoehorn into the program?
There's a lot to choose from.
Yes, yes, there is. Deep in the Motherlode from And Then There Were Three. A reference, Patrick, to what?
The first album that the band was only comprised of three members.
That's right. Who were?
Phil Collins, Mike Rutherford.
Yes.
And
Tony Banks.
That's right.
Yes.
And you could put the moniker great in front of all three of those.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And Mike Rutherford is the Mike of Mike and the Mechanics, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Or Mike plus the Mechanics, if you read the logo, blah, 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 blah.
They all did their relative or personal side projects.
Indeed so. Indeed so. All right, so real quick, and then we'll get to whatever in the world else. But so clearly in the next few months, Trump's either convicted or not. He either wins or he doesn't. Just what do you guys, what's, and I'm going to ask you what everybody asks me. Hey, what's going to happen? Go.
Anybody who says they know what's going to happen needs to be in Vegas.
Yep.
Because nobody knows. I mean, no. Did anybody have all of the, what's happening in the first quarter of this year on their bingo card?
No.
There's not a bingo card big enough in the world for all of this. So, I mean, I just have no way of knowing. I know what I think it may come down to.
I know what it should come down to.
I know what it should come down to.
I know what it looks like now. Lots of issues kind of coming our way. Economy, how can you argue Biden's the better choice? Borders, how can you argue that Biden's the better choice?
Absolutely.
Here's the thing everybody's forgetting. Even with a candidate near death, don't underestimate the degree to which Democrats will be motivated by one incredibly powerful thing that they'll crawl on broken glass and walk on fire to do, and that's beat Trump again.
That's right. I just want to stroll down memory lane for 1 minute, Mark. Mm-hmm. When I first sat in this chair in 2015, I had been through the first New Hampshire primary where I was a resident and a voter there, mm-hmm. and I had seen all 15 or 16 Republican candidates, and you asked me, why did I settle on Trump, even when Ted Cruz was still in the race?
Mm-hmm.
I said, first of all, William F. Buckley, vote for the most conservative candidate that you believe can win. Mm-hmm. And I believed it was Trump. But my three reasons were, in this order, ISIS, immigration and the border, and Supreme Court justices. Look what happened. ISIS was completely eradicated within a year of Trump being president. Immigration was under control, remain in Mexico. We built us some wall. And we thought, listen, the next president is going to get to a point one Supreme Court,
maybe two,
and he got three, and the overturning of Roe.
Yeah.
Now look how far everything has devolved, disintegrated, reverted back to. That in itself, I mean, this is a unique opportunity in that you've got two former presidential records that you can look back on in recent history.
Yep.
So I know what it should come down to is my answer.
But will we have the eyes to see and the energy to vote? Here's something I always have the energy to do: space stories. And now with more, here's Patrick and his astronaut buddy. Here's what's weird. And here's an indication of how crowded space has been and how many astronauts we have. I can name you all 12 who walked on the moon in order, everybody on every Mercury, Gemini, Apollo. That's when there were only 40 guys to talk about. Now we got folks who went to space five times who I've scarcely heard of. You know, astronauts who you would not, you know, recognize. I mean, I'd recognize Gene Cernan as much as I would members of my own family. Now, and you mentioned a guy, I've heard the name, I know, because, you know, I'm paying attention. But I just learned that you're, now, where do you know Bob? First of all, great name, Bob Cabana. Where do you know him from?
So we have very dear friends back in Katy. They've since moved to Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
But our kids grew up together. We were in parent groups together, church, the whole thing. And Sarah, the woman who is our friend, grew up in Clear Lake, and the reason she did is because her dad, Bob Cabana,
there you go,
is a four-time space shuttle astronaut.
So cool.
And he is a two-time captain.
And so there's a Discovery flight in there. There is a Columbia flight in there. And he also, in an Endeavor flight, I guess this might have been his last, was the first space shuttle mission to go to the International Space Station.
Yes.
Holy cow.
In mid-90s, we're talking, I think. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So we got to know Bob and his wife through, you know, birthday parties and ball games and different events and everything. And I got to sit down with him on more than one occasion. And as Mark Davis would say, geek out.
There you go,
about all of this. And at one point just say, dude, what's it like?
So what did you – okay, I know what I'm – all right, let's make a list of the things you are most – curious about. I mean, when I've gotten out of just pinch me, I've had the opportunity to, you know, the guys who walked on the moon have been on the show. Good grief, how did that happen? Right. But it's sort of have to cover the big stuff. You know, what was it like to do this on the actual moon or whatever? But there are all kinds of lesser things that I just have an incredible curiosity about. I'll trade you. What was yours?
My first question to him is, mm-hmm. the day of launch, mm-hmm. you know, and there's so many opportunities
yep.
for it to go, you know, to get canceled.
How puckered are you?
Number one, how puckered are you?
Exactly right.
And number two,
yep,
your go for launch, you know it's happening.
Yep.
How far in advance do you get in the seat?
Isn't that about, well, it depends. Well, it's a lot less now, but isn't it at least 4 hours?
Yeah, it was three or 4 hours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens the last hour? You're strapped in, you're checking everything. And then I said, you got to tell me what it feels like on launch. And he said, the one thing I tell people all the time is, even with all the technology, as sophisticated as it is, as far as the program has come, it rattles like hell.
It shakes your skeleton.
It's like being a penny in a coffee can.
And which, by the way, is exactly the thing that I was curious about as well. Because I know how you go to the bathroom on the space station now. Yeah. And that's just not pretty at all. Yeah. And various other things. And there have been books written about this. But what in the world is liftoff actually like? Let me ask you this, and I'll get to that in a second. When you asked him about, I get, were you sort of asking about launch day nervousness?
Yes.
Did you get the usual? And I know they are human, but there's so much rehearsal, so much. Because I have asked guys who walked on the moon on landing day, what's it like? And it's not like they go, eh, it's another day at work. But it's just, it is a day at work. And they are so, the ice water runs through their veins. Because I'd be like, oh, I'm going to be on the flipping moon. You know, that's just, that's the difference between normal human beings and them.
Yes. And by the time he did it, of course, you know, Challenger had happened in 1986. Mm-hmm. So you can't, you know, these are human beings. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be nervous.
Yes.
And he said, you know, the last 45 minutes, we're go for launch. You're lifting off. It's unlike anything you've ever felt in your life, according to him. And then he said, when you get over that initial visceral, physical reaction, he said, you have jobs to do for the next 10 days.
You're so busy.
And you just start on your job.
Yeah,
and he said, that's what takes you through.
And I would think that I'd be just face pressed against the window, unable to move, you know, because that would just be it. And I've thought about what, because it's got to be, I mean, I've heard it. Is it like an elephant sitting on your chest? Is it, would I survive it? Of course I could. I mean, we sent Senator Jake Garn. We sent John Glenn back. And he was way older, even older than I am now. So, I mean, I'd like, well, of course, he's probably in magnificent Marine Corps shape still at that time. So I'd like to think that we could do it. Don't
If we start sending up talk show hosts, I will nominate you first.
Exactly.
And then maybe a couple that we leave out there. How about
precise,
that?
Precise. Sorry, we were sending them to the moon, but we sadly have to bring them back. All right, Ms. Terry, what's on your mind? What do you want to do next? Why do we got a few minutes left to wander through culturally, politically?
You know, this has been so much fun for me because, you know, I have followed you since day one. I don't know if you remember
literal day one?
Yes, literal day one.
March 1994, day one?
Absolutely. My daughter.
What are you doing?
My daughter was turning 1 year old that day.
Oh, wait a minute. Yep.
I was out running around getting birthday decorations for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, finally, something, because I was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any stay-at-home mommy friends at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, finally, adult conversation. You know, while she was watching Barney and Sesame Street, I was listening to the Mark Davis Show.
Wow.
Yes.
That is incredible.
Yes. So, anyway, I've always known. I've listened to you for 30 years, known this guy since, you know, he's, what, 65 now, too?
Much, much younger than her, just in case you were wondering.
But I look younger, so that's all that matters. But I always knew you
bring
two
this
guys.
Down close
to you. I always knew you two
literally
guys.
Bring it down. There you go.
Okay. I always knew you guys would really just hit it off and have a great time. And you have so much in common musically. But Patrick really has me to thank for his musical tastes. And I'll let him take the story.
I was
going to
say, with more, here's Patrick. Why is that the case?
So we talked about this at lunch last year. So I'm, you know, you're 10 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So 1977, I'm 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And like every other 10-year-old kid in America, I'm a Kiss fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So me and my friends in Houston, we love Kiss. There's no way in hell my parents would have ever let me go to the Destroyer tour in 1976 or 77.
And I want to say rightfully so.
Probably.
Although these days Kiss is just the most straight ahead, innocuous. I mean, I know you got cold gin and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But anyway, continue.
So I'm getting into fifth and sixth grade and I'm kind of like moving out of my Kiss phase.
Yes.
And by this time, Terry is
3 years older,
you know, 3 years older in high school and everything. And she's got a little stereo in her room.
Mm-hmm.
And I start going through the albums, mm-hmm. and because like right now, all I really know is like Kiss and Captain and Tennille,
mm-hmm.
right?
I don't a double bill at the Astrodome.
I don't own any music at this point.
Yeah,
and so I start going through our albums, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, as you know, just a glorious time in rock history. Mm-hmm. And I'm flipping through the albums.
What were your treasured possessions at the time?
Oh, John Denver, Karen Carpenter, Chicago, The Best of Bread.
No, of course, everything.
And the rock and roll album, I think that really, I mean, changed my taste and that rocked my world was Boston's.
First one.
Premier, yeah, first album.
And I was about to mention that. I find the Boston album. I'm like, man, this is really cool. I put it on sonically, just, wow, this is great. I'm flipping through Yellow Brick Road, some Journey. Mm-hmm. And then, as I told you last year, I look at The Best of Bread and Dan Fogelberg, and I'm like, okay, something's not, you know. And then I find Alice Cooper Goes to Hell.
Yeah, baby.
And I'm
having
thinking,
a hell of a time, my dear. Okay. Wish you were here.
I have very eclectic taste.
Yes, indeed. That's always a good thing to
have. Whiskey and Lace.
Yep, right? There you go.
So then I find Styx and Van Halen.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school, and I'm like telling all my KISS buddies.
Yep. Right?
I'm like, guys, leave that aside. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to the Cars. I find the Cars also. Mm-hmm. Styx and Van Halen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a whole new level. It's totally different. It's really cool. And then along about 79, I hear Rush for the first time.
Well, there you are.
That's it.
That was not my album. I did not have Rush.
Because, okay, we got a couple of minutes. Maybe this is the thing. Guy bands and chick bands, which is not to speak well or ill of anybody. Rush doesn't have a lot of female fans.
They exist,
but...
They added some at the end, but funny story from the Steve Hackett concert. Yeah. We go to the men's room at intermission, and there's a line out because there's no women there.
And I don't... Maybe it's because it's kind of meticulous and the Alex Lifeson guitar stuff. Meanwhile, chick band, Bon Jovi. Not a lot of dudes deep into the Bon Jovi. I mean, you know, those are great records. Yeah. They're fine.
Bon Jovi was a little after my time. By the time Bon Jovi was big, I was really into classic country.
Mm-hmm.
Barry and I were dating. We were going everywhere to, you know, dance halls to hear George Strait, Asleep at the Wheel, that whole thing.
So you discover Rush in 79. So this is a good number of years
80.
After Fly By Night, after 2112, All the World's a Stage.
Yep. Yeah. Permanent Waves and Moving Pictures are coming out. Mm-hmm. And then my first concert was 83 on the Signals Tour.
Oh, my. So you'd been a fan already for four hardcore years.
Yes. And
you see Getty and Alex and Neil for the first time. Where was it? Where was the venue?
It was at the Summit in Houston.
Very good. Gotcha.
And I was at or near the top of the upper prom.
Didn't matter.
I mean, I was a mile away.
Didn't matter.
Didn't matter. Nope. It was unlike anything I had ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'll let you try to guess who the opening band was that night.
Okay. All right, I'll play the game. Was it kind of a disconnect because it didn't seem like somebody you'd have open
not
for Rush?
Not really. I'll give you a hint. Twilight Zone.
Golden Earring. All right.
Ask him how many times he's seen Rush because I'm thinking he doesn't even know.
At the end, it was 2015 was the end.
Yeah.
It's 30 plus times.
That's incredible.
Before they hung it up.
And with Neil's death, they will never. It's not going to be like ZZ Top where they find somebody to replace Dusty Hill. And God bless him for that. That's great. But
even if he hadn't gotten sick, he was done.
Yeah.
He could not do it physically anymore. He had a new wife and a new baby, and he was done. And all of this is spelled out in Geddy Lee's new book called My Effin' Life, which is fantastic.
Have you seen the Geddy Lee miniseries where he goes and talks to bass players?
Yes.
There you go. I can't think of anything on which better to conclude, but we haven't totally concluded. We got one more tune and some parting thoughts. Terry Teat, Patrick Hayes. I'm Mark Davis. Back in a can't think of a better way to bring things full circle. What was the Rush tour where they had like a washer and dryer running?
The last several.
Gotcha. Yeah. was there meaning to that?
Yeah. So you know, guitar, you're always going to have the amps mic'd up.
Right.
The technology on the bass side got so advanced where he did not need a bass amplifier or a rack of bass amplifiers.
Right.
And he's like, hey, Alex has all this crap on his side of the stage.
I need something.
What can I do that's really funny? That's why I did it.
I somehow knew you would know. Yeah. He's awesome. What a brother.
I knew you two would hit it off.
I gotta tell you this. Well, it just, whether on the air, off the air, and, you know, I just love you guys and appreciate y'all so very, very much. Closing thought, got a benefit.
This has been a ball, Mark. Thanks so much. I had so much fun. I forgot we were on the air. I hope it all worked out okay.
Look at that. That's what I hope happens. Add Mexican food, and it's our last get together, and maybe our next.
Yeah. Great to see you. Great to be here. Thanks so much.
Love you. Patrick?
Yeah. Thanks for the time. It's been fantastic. Lunch last year. We did this year. What are we going to do to talk about next year?
We keep raising the bar. That is Terry Teat and Patrick Hayes. Love them. Love y'all. Thank you for being with us. Mike Gallagher is next. And as I invoked earlier, I am not done. I'm doing the Gorka Show. So 4 to 6 today, we'll be doing some America First action. So check that out on the radio station and, of course, on the Salem News Channel. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Have a fantastic weekend. Let's hope that the Stars can actually win a game. That would be good. Let's not get swept. Let's keep the Mavericks on the winning track against the Clippers. Go Rangers. They got some things they got to work on too. Whatever it involves, hope it's filled with blessings for you. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer. Be good. Have a fantastic weekend.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.